Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on the book of Job. I've entitled the talks, The Man on the Ash Heap. I also want to draw your attention to the fact that the words that I give you, you are loved with an everlasting love, are also in a hymn, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught us, it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. To carry on with chapter 1 of the book of Job, which we're told is the oldest book in the Bible, yesterday we talked about the strange encounter between Satan, who was actually given permission to present himself in the courts of heaven, and he had an argument with God as to the real meaning of faith. Of course Job is a faithful man, Satan said. Look at all the riches you've given him. But stretch out your hand and see if he doesn't curse you to your face. And God accepted the challenge. And Satan left the Lord's presence. When the day came that Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking in the eldest brother's house, a messenger came running to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses were grazing near them when the Sabians swooped down and carried them off after putting the herdsmen to the sword. And I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived and said, God's fire flashed from heaven. It struck the sheep and the shepherds and burnt them up, and I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. While he was still speaking, another arrived and said, The Chaldeans, three bands of them, have made a raid on the camels and carried them off after putting the drivers to the sword. And I'm the only one to escape and tell the tale. While this man was speaking, yet another arrived and said, Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a whirlwind swept across the desert and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people and killed them. And I am the only one to escape and tell the tale. At this, Job stood up and rent his cloak, tore his clothes, in other words. Then he shaved his head, which was a sign of deep mourning, and fell prostrate on the ground, saying, Naked I came from the womb, naked I shall return whence I came. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Throughout all this, Job did not sin. He did not charge God with unreason. I'm sure that some of you heard of a disaster that happened. A Christian family were driving along a highway in a van, and the van struck a piece of metal, I think, which had fallen off a truck. The car burst into flames, and all six children were burned to death. Only the parents escaped. And I read the testimony of those parents. It was very similar to the testimony of Job. After all these tragedies that Job had experienced in very quick succession, he prays, The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the inspired word of God tells us throughout all this, Job did not sin. He did not charge God with unreason. That's faith. That was a shining example of contemporary faith when those parents of the six children who were burned to death were able to trust the Lord even to praise him for his will having been done, although, of course, their hearts were broken. I've had so many letters from people who have similar testimonies, and I'm so grateful. One letter that has come to me recently, which is not a letter about a disaster at all, although some of you single women might be considering singleness a disaster. This lady writes and says, "Offering up all our dreams and desires as a sacrifice is something I've learned. It reminds me of the verse," she's quoting from 2 Samuel 24:24, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing." That verse refers to David's attempt to buy the threshing floor from the owner, Araunah, and Araunah, in an excess of generosity, says no. He says, "I'll give you the whole thing. I'll even give you the oxen for a sacrifice and the sledge to chop up for wood for the fire." And that's when David said, "No, I cannot offer to the Lord anything which costs me nothing." And so this single lady goes on to say, "The words of a song I think of frequently. If there ever were dreams that were lofty or noble, they were my dreams from the start. All my hopes for life's best were the hopes that I longed for down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes. My castles all crumbled. My fortune turned to loss. So I wrapped them all in the rags of my life and laid it at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. I'm 38, she says, and have never been married. It seems like only yesterday I used to lie in my bed at age 14 and pray for a husband, like Joseph in the Old Testament. I loved his integrity and unselfishness even back then. I don't care how long it takes, that's the kind of man I want, I would often pray. Well, many years have passed since I uttered those words, and God has seen fit to set me apart for himself. His plan for my life was much better than anything I could have dreamed of. And I've learned over the years that marriage is not the apex of life. Being conformed to the image of Christ is. And then investing your life into the lives of others. It's the only thing that will last. Everything else is temporal. One night while reading, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him," it dawned on me that the fullest reward is Christ himself. God said to Abraham all those thousands of years ago, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." What a thrilling realization this was. We talk about trust. This is the only time we've got, right here, right now, with our little wisp of light. I'm trying to learn to trust him. His estimate of our trust, it's much more precious than gold that perisheth. 1 Peter 1:7. Oh my, how I wish I had time to read this whole letter. It's a magnificent song of joy from a single woman. She quotes also Deuteronomy 7:6-8. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you." Can you, who are single and longing for marriage, really believe that God is faithful and that it is because of his love that he allows you to experience deep and unfulfilled longings? What's he up to? Sanctification. He wants to draw us to himself. He wants us to trust no matter what's happening in our lives. And as we pray and agonize and cry and perhaps beat on God's door, He's always got reasons. Job faced the mystery in his life, the unanswered questions as to why he, whom God himself had called a blameless man, should suffer the loss of his flocks, his herds, his lands, his servants, his children. And when we get into chapter 2, we find that he lost the confidence of his wife. She was certainly not sympathizing with him. She suggested that he should curse God and die. Surely he must have been tempted to take her advice, but he didn't. And this single woman goes on to say, "One of the things that I can tell my dear girls whom I'm teaching is that if God does have a plan for them to marry, that they can begin praying right now that the Lord will make them fit for a godly man, to be a crown to him and not rottenness in his bones. How these meditations have helped me as I work quietly down in a basement office. God's ways are perfect. The little ministry that God has given me to do right now is a one-to-one ministry with high school and college girls. They have almost all remarked that they are glad that I'm single. Thank God for those who trust Him enough to believe that even when their deepest desires are denied, God loves them. God is still on the throne."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.